John chapter 14, Moses is going to actually talk to us in a few minutes, but I want to show you how this introduces John chapter 14, verse 7. You know verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But look at chapter 14 and verse 7 down to verse 11. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It will satisfy us. It'll be enough. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath actually seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else, at least, believe me for the very works' sake. At this point in time, the disciples have been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They've come to know Jesus intimately. They've seen him unshaven, in effect. They've seen him, you know, not in you know, PR prep. They saw him as a normal human being. They saw him sun up to sun down. They saw him hungry. They saw him tired. They know him. They thought that that was all there was to him. But there was more. Listen, the more they got to know Jesus, the more they wanted to know him more. That was one of the things. Jesus was not this encounter that the disciples say, well, that was fun, now I got to go back to work. No, when they got around Jesus, they said, I got to stay around for some more. And it gets even funnier than that, or more strong than that. The more they did get to know Jesus, the more they wanted to go to the Father. Especially when Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. And they said, wow, what's the Father like? Now, what is surprising is, Jesus says, I've been showing you the Father all along. I've been showing you what he's like, how he thinks, and maybe you've just not been paying attention. This really struck me this weekend. We want to know God, but he's already trying to reveal himself. He's already trying to speak to us, and we don't pay attention. Well, maybe we don't like what we're seeing. So, they're looking at this plain-looking guy, and Jesus says, if you see me, you're looking at the Father. And that was a shocker to them. See, Jesus knew what they needed all along. These disciples had seen his miracles. But he knew they needed an intimate walk with God. He needed to know the Father. And Moses discovered that very powerfully back in Exodus chapter 33. If you go back there, Exodus chapter 33. Genesis, Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse 12. 33 and verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. You commanded me, you called me to bring this people out of Israel, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. You said that you know me by name, and you've also said that I found grace in thy sight. So Moses, if you can see him, he's kind of complaining. He's kind of saying, now God, you called me for this job, and you told me what to do, and I've done it, and you told me you know me by name, you love me, and you say I found grace in your sight. But he's saying, it's not enough. It's not enough just to be a child of God. It's not enough just to be called, even into the ministry. It's not enough to be a pastor. It's not enough to have a wife, to have kids. It's not enough to have a job. It's not enough to have a Bible. It's not enough to have a church. It's not enough to have Everything that you think that you need is not enough. You see, there's something inside the heart of every one of us that says, I'm missing one thing, and that one thing is the most needful thing of all, and that is God. What we got saved for was so that Jesus could live in us and never leave us or forsake us. That He could not just forgive us, but could now be us. Could now, the life which I live by His faith. I'm dead and I'm alive, but the life which I now live is not my own. So in background, I want you to see that Moses, even though he was strong in faith, and he'd done a lot. If you follow along in the book of Exodus, you got to give him credit. He has faced down Pharaoh. He's faced down the culture of the day. He's faced down the rejection by the Jewish people over and over. There, they gave up about every other day. He's faced that. And he was a strong man. But he needed more than just the fellowship and the family that God had gave him. And really, I mean, we've got a small group here, but what if we had a million and a half people trying to follow God together? That's what Moses had. I mean, you'd love to have 25 on a Wednesday night. You'd love to have, I mean, honestly, let's just say Dan's got 1,000 over in McRoom and Kevin's got 1,000 over in the Carrigaline. I got 1,000 here. That's not what we need. You see, that will not satisfy. You say, Pastor, wouldn't you be happy with 1,000 people? I'd be wanting to shoot them all. You understand? They'd want to be shooting me. Just the more people, the more problem. So, my point is, that's not the goal. Even though you want to get people saved, even though you want them into church, and in the Bible study, you want that. Having that, Moses had that, but he's crying out to God. He says, God, this is not enough. Just the fact that I got a million and a half people waiting on me to tell them what to do. Second, and a lot of people wish they had that. I wish I had somebody that would obey me. Secondly, more than just day-to-day operations. See, he was leading them to the promised land. You know, it is very important that every person in this room has something to do tomorrow. It's very important that you have a reason to get up and that you get up and you do it. I don't care if it's mowing grass or if it's managing million-euro accounts. You got to be doing something. Got to have a reason to get up, and it ought to be God's reason. But the curse of our culture is we're not working. We're stressed. We're busy, but we're complainers because we are not doing something of value. And Moses had great things to do. He had a day to day. Every day he had to get up. There were people already lining up outside his tent, waiting for questions. He had something to do, but let me tell you, it'll wear you out. It's not going to satisfy you. A good job won't satisfy you. Having kids will wear you out. Right? Moses got tired. He even said, Lord, you haven't given me a help. Now, Aaron was his brother, his older brother. But he wasn't really, evidently, a good help. Not at this point. And he says, Lord, and he's looking for a Joshua, and he's not going to give him Joshua yet. But Moses is growing tired. And he's saying, Lord, you haven't even showed me who's really going to help me yet. I feel so alone. So just the fact that you have something to do every day, which is good, it's going to be a dead end. Third, knowing that God knows you and loves you, praise God. You think that that'd be enough? You think, listen, if I could just rest in His love, and that's a good place to be. But you know, knowing God loves you, when you're going through the fire and you're going through the struggle and going through the discouragement, knowing that He loves you is a huge benefit. Let me be plain with you. If you feel alone, all the words of encouragement mean nothing. You see, what Moses needed to be reminded of is His presence. And I'm already getting ahead of my message. He needed God. Right there. He didn't just need it. Lord, I know you got grace. You're showing me so much love. You're showing, you've done so much for me, but I feel distant from you. And there's something we need, something every child of God desires. And there's actually four things. I want to talk about those four things tonight. We'll be through. Go back to verse 12. Moses, Exodus chapter 33. and verse 12. I'll show you the four things that Moses needed. I think we need. I know I do. Exodus 33, verse 12 and 13. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. But you told me, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me," what's this first thing he wants? "Show me your way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is not mine, but thy people." See, Moses already knew God's way of salvation. He already saw God deliver Israel. But he needed to know God's ways. God's ways are different. You know, I've been planning, and this is just a bit of experience, but I've been planning on, you know, how to approach this referendum. I actually was planning on preaching next week about the referendum and how a Christian comes to a conclusion about issues that the world is crazy on. And I thought everything's nice and tidy. I created my website page, put all these things together. Dan's wrote an ad in the paper. We're all doing our little thing, and I got it all sectioned out. I know what I'm doing. And I expected a little bit of fun. I'm in charge. That was my problem. I had expected, I'm doing my bit, Dan do his bit, saw other pastors, they put out little cards and tracts, and we just do our bit, and we get a little bit of heat, and that's God. God says, "You ain't seen nothing." God's ways are different than our ways. And what I learned from this thing is I say, "God, teach me your way." Because I had it all, I know. I've been for weeks going, "When am I going to preach on this? Well, we've got to put together this referendum packet. Got to do all this." And I kept saying, "I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to get it there. That's my way." And then all of a sudden, God shows up and says, "Boo. It's my time now." I'm just telling you, I've learned that I need to ask God, "God, show me your ways. Don't let me get so confident. I don't need to constantly be saying, 'God, forgive me,' when I've got you all planned out." So, to know the way of God, to know His way. What is God's way? Sometimes through a valley. Sometimes God's way is just sit there for a while. Just sit. See, my way is, "God, I want to move. God, I want to fix this thing. God, I want to do something." The Lord says, "Sit down." Sometimes God's way is into the lion's den. I don't think Daniel, you know, when Daniel was praying every day, and when they made that law, I think Daniel considered the law, when they posted that law saying no man is able to pray, allowed to pray for 30 days to any other god than come, the only person you're able to ask anything is come to the king. I think he thought about it. I think he just thought, time to pray. But I don't think he saw himself actually getting in trouble. He just knew he was going to do right. See, the difference between Daniel, and I'm getting ahead of myself, the thing between Daniel and me is, I'd be worried about the lion's den if I prayed, amen? I don't think he worried about it. I don't think he even considered they're going to come and watch him. He didn't think, he just did what was right. And he already knew it's in God's hand. That's God's way. I think he was already confident in God's ways. So these are just some deep thoughts. Hope you can apply them. Psalm 103. Hold your place here in Exodus. Psalm 103 in verse 7. David prayed this. If anybody remembers, when was David anointed to be king? About how old was he when he was anointed to be king? He was a late teenager, early 20s at the latest. Late teenager. And, yeah. So he wasn't even part of the soldiers, he was still a kid. He's anointed king, which means he's supposed to be king. But there was somebody already on the throne, wasn't there? And that somebody wasn't getting off the throne. So David tried to work with Saul, as we'll see as we go along in our Bible study. David tried to work along with Saul, and he played for Saul the harp. He tried his best to calm Saul down, tried not to aggravate Saul, and everything he did turned off. Ultimately, he has to run for his life. Now, who's anointed to be king? Who's chosen to be king? David. So would you agree? He's going to wonder, God, show me what you're doing here. Show me how you're going to work this thing out. That's God's way. Look at Psalm 103, and verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses. And I'm going to find out why. His acts unto the children of Israel. And I'm going to get ahead of myself again. There's a lot of overlap, so forgive me. But Moses says, show me thy way. And guess what? David reminds God, and you showed it to him. So it's okay to ask God, God, show me what you're doing. Show me how to be ready. Show me how to trust you and to expect that your way is not going to be my way. Psalm 95 and verse 10. Psalm 95 and verse 10. God speaks and says these words. Psalm 95 and verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have an error in their heart. Why? They have not known my ways. Is it possible to know God's word, to know God's will, and not know his way? Yes. Yes. You know, I find that it is very important to ask God, God, show me thy way, so that I don't hinder him, so that I don't gripe and complain. Ouch. Because if I am complaining, it's because what God is doing is not what I want him to do. Let's go back to Exodus 33. So, the most important thing that we start with, the need of us, is to know the way of God. That's just his way of doing things. I have a way I do things. You have ways you do things. Well, let me tell you, God has ways of doing things. Okay. Secondly, to have the presence of God. And this gets very personal here. 33 and verse 14 repeats again. He says, he goes on, and he said, this is God talking, my what? Presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He, Moses, said back unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, I don't want to go another step further. Don't take us in the promised land. If you're not going with us, I don't want to go. Hey, you know what heaven is? Heaven's not streets of gold, it's not mansions, it's not rewards, it's not treasures. Heaven is the presence of God. Heaven is not Peter, James, John, Matthew, Adam, Eve, Abraham. It's Jesus. And if Jesus isn't there, it ain't worth going to, no matter how much gold. You understand? The reason why this dumb dog Gentile got saved is not because I want to be a better person, not because I want to live in a mansion. It's because I fell in love with somebody who fell in love with me. I was enamored, I was fixated by God becoming a man for a wretch like me. And that's what will make heaven, heaven, amen? So for Moses, the journey, the exodus, everything's going on in his life meant nothing if God wasn't in it. Can you now say, if God's not in my home, it's not a home. If God's not in my thoughts, it ain't worth thinking. If God's not in control of my mouth and in my praise, it ain't worth saying. Amen? I need his presence. I need the presence of God. Can we go to Hebrews 13 and verse 5? Hold in your place here in Exodus. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. That's harder than you think it is, folks. To live your life without covetousness and be content with such things as ye. Can you put the word in there for me? You already have. Be content with the things that you already have. Why? How can any Christian be content? How can any Christian actually have joy and live without covetousness? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Honestly, this is Moses had no idea what was left. In Exodus 33, they've gone less than 2 years out of Egypt. Okay, you ready? How many more years have they got before they get to the Promised Land? 38 more years. Lord, show me thy way. You don't want to know my way. Lord, I need your presence. That is something good to ask, because it's going to get long. Moses had no idea the battles he was going to have to face, the complaining he was going to have to put up with. He just knew he couldn't go on another day without experiencing God right there with him. Let me tell you, the day I got saved, 34 years ago, I can't explain it. Maybe somebody else can amen it, because you can't verbalize it, but you can relate to it. I knew God and I joined up. Just the presence of God in my life, wonderful. I did not have the voice of God. I did not have, a vision of God. I just knew somebody moved in. And you can't, and we believe that you can never fully lose that presence, but let me say this. You can live without that fullness of presence. Because the fear is this: tomorrow morning, the flesh will get up, eat breakfast, go to work, and go days without thinking, I need God. I need to stop, and I need to ask God, give me thy presence. You see, if you have to ask God for your presence, it's almost like asking Him to get saved again if He's not there already with you. We're asking for Him to be able to say, wow, I thought you'd live without me, but I've been there all along waiting for you to want me. And want just me. Why do some people get saved? Because they want to get out of trouble. Amen? Why do some people get saved? Because they want their family back. Some people get saved because they don't want to go to hell. Amen. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. But I came to find out what I got is more than forgiveness for sin, freedom from sin, salvation from hell. And I got this extra benefit of Jesus Christ. Everything else is not worth it. It doesn't have value. And Moses just says it. I just have to have you. Because that is what Jesus is. His name is Emmanuel. God in heaven. Is that what it means? God with us. So I ask you tonight and tomorrow, these are things I hope you stash away and you say, Lord, help me to remember to ask for these things from you before I'm at that end like Moses was. Because Moses is burned out, messed out, thrown out. What are the rest outs? I don't know. Burned out. He's almost a goner. But don't wait until then before you ask for these four things. To have the presence of God. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. To the end of the world. You can't go anywhere. I am not. So, to have the presence of God, if you would ponder that and say, what does that mean? Wow. It's just, it's the fact that He's holding you up. He's there with you. And you can talk to Him like Like we normally say, Lord, where are you? But instead, Lord, give me your presence so that I know you're right there. And when I'm talking to you, I don't have to yell. And that you already know my heart. The presence of God. The comfort of his presence. Jesus said, come unto me. Get close to me. Spend time with me. Hook up with me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. And I'll give you rest. Where? On your soul. Isn't that what he told Moses? He says, my presence shall go with thee, back there in Exodus 33:14, and I will give thee rest. Just by his presence. Third, look at verse 16. Lord, give me the courage to go ahead and be different from the world. Look at verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here? Moses saying. 33:16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How is it going to be known? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be, what's the next word? Different! We'll be separated! We'll be broken away from the world. Yes, we'll be separate, but I want you to get this idea of we're going to be different. I and thy people from all people, Lord, you're asking us to break completely away from Egypt. You're asking us not to mingle with the Moabites or the Amorites or the Canaanites or the Hivites or the Termites. You've got us to be so out here on a limb, we're going to be sticking out, looking like weirdos. You're asking us to be different? Okay. Amen. To go ahead and be different. God, help me to not be ashamed that I am different. You're asking me to separate from some things that the world thinks are normal. You're asking me to vote differently than everybody else feels led to vote. You're asking me to live, talk, give, do differently, and I will be easy target. People will see me. Look at so-and-so. Yeah. Lord, help me to go ahead and be different. So go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 'm glad God doesn't just say, you know, Brother Dan, God could just say, be separate. No, sometimes he does. He says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. If that's all he said, that's all we need. I appreciate, look at how he says it here. Somebody's phone is going off. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a, and he starts off very positive, doesn't he? You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Why am I stepping out and stepping away? Because you are different. You're different by design. Ledbetter, you're not just supposed to be weird because you want to be weird. You're weird by design. You're different by design. You're peculiar on purpose. And when I ask you to step out from the world, and I ask you not to go the way of the world, I ask you to just do my will for your life. I do it because you're a royal chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and you're peculiar. That's who you are. So my point is, and by doing that, then we can show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You cannot praise God, and you ought to never praise God with a cigarette in your mouth. Amen. You cannot praise God with a shot of whiskey in your hand. You have to come out in order to praise God rightly. Amen. So, go ahead and be different. Don't be afraid of being different. You ever watched a rabbit? I'm sorry, ladies, don't get upset. During the spring, you see all the pretty spring lambs on the fields. But sometimes you'll see a rabbit. and will be on the side of the road. That was a cat, amen. But anyway, it's a rabbit. And the rabbit's there, and it's nighttime, driving along, and you can see this rabbit dart out. And you ever notice a rabbit? They'll dart out and stop. And they panic, and they run back, and then they run forward. And that hesitation does what? Gets them killed. They can run faster than a car. But that hesitation, that terrifying of coming out of the bush, I'm scared, and they're like, and you're coming along in a car, and you're like, woo, 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 you're dead. Listen, the point is, when you hesitate, go ahead and be different. The devil mows right over you. Just take off, man. Run and not be weary. Mount up with wings as you fly. So the example is, don't be hesitant to be different. And last, to see the glory of God. Look at verse 17 back in Exodus. Ask for God's glory. What does that mean? Now I know what Moses is asking for. Show me something amazing. And I asked for that. Anybody ever ask for a miracle? Just because you need it? Or just show me you're there. Amen? That's how much, God, can you just remind me that you're big? Show me that you're just awesome. Amen. That's what Moses is praying. Show me thy glory. Is it okay to ask that? Yes, it is. Now, don't be discouraged when his ways are different than yours. But I got a sneaking suspicion we just don't believe God is big anymore and that He can do big things. I think it's okay for us to say, God, show me how wonderful You are. Because He is. He is. Look at verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, you know what? You've been asking for all the right things, but I'm going to give you one more thing you should have asked for. You ready? Verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, verse 18, you mean I can ask you? You mean I can ask? Show me thy glory. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, and it will be glorious, that I will put thee in the cliff of a rock. That's a little bitty cut out of a rock. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Just thoughts, and it would be through. I think, why does God answer Moses' request? Not because I know Moses is a great man of God. I know he's called a servant of God. But let me tell you, he tells us why God answers Moses' prayer request. You ready? One word. You ready? Grace. Just because God is great. You don't have to be important for God to answer your prayer. You don't even have to be full of faith. Moses is ready to quit. He just knew what he needed. And he said, I'm not going anywhere until you show me your glory. As a matter of fact, I don't think he asked for the glory, I don't think he felt like he could ask for something big. I mean, he'd already been through the Red Sea, hadn't he? That's pretty big. He was already watching manna every morning and quail in the evening. He already saw rocks split and provide water for a man and a half people. And so he felt like, I probably will bother you if I ask for something amazing. But the Lord said, I know there's more you want to ask. Moses said, okay, God, I'll ask. Show me how awesome you are. I need that. I'd like to pray that. Much more often. Much more believing than I've ever done. To see your glory. I don't think God ever tires of us asking for more. You know, I bet you we're praying. Can I be honest with you? I bet we bow and we pray and we maybe go through a list or maybe we pray over a problem. And then we finish. And I'm sure the Lord's saying, anything more? You will not wear me out. Am I better? Is there something else? Go ahead and ask for more. What did the disciples ask for? We never knew we could ask you to show us the Father. Jesus said, you've been seeing him all along. Now maybe you'll start paying attention. Wow. See the glory of God. What did the disciples pray in Acts chapter 4? Nita preached on it this morning, taught on it this morning to the kids. They said, Lord, give us courage. When the persecution comes, give us courage. And if the Lord did, he gave them courage. They spoke boldly. But he shook the building. That's cool. I haven't been in an earthquake ever. I think Ireland needs some earthquakes. And I'd rather some earthquakes come because God's people have said, God, show me thy glory. It's very necessary in the life of the believer to cry out and say, God, I know you're invisible. Let me see him who is invisible. Like it says in Hebrews 11, Moses, it was as if he could see him. He was invisible. And it refers back to this event where he got to see. He didn't get to see him face to face, but he saw him pass by. And when God's hand went away, and I don't know if he was in darkness, I don't know if he just had to, but the mountain shook, the winds came in the next chapter. I mean, it was like World War III. And then the Lord said, pulled his hand away and kept going on. And Moses looked around and went, wow! And it was enough. It's as if he got to see it. See the glory of God. See, we have our idea of what the glory of God is. The glory of God would be if 100 people got saved this week. That would be glorious. But Moses didn't tell God how to show his glory. He just said, show me thy glory. Don't say, God, give me €1,000. That'll be glorious. No, don't do that. That would be stupid. Because you're telling God what is glorious. You need to say, God, show me you. Show me what it's like to see you at work. The morning star sang when you made this universe. Make me sing too. Whatever you want to do, help me be right there. Let me just experience. Is that cool? Is that needed? Ask God, God, teach me your way. You ever work in a business? You ever do an inventory? You ever do a stocking at the grocery store or whatever? You put up all the cans of tuna. You know what they tell you? Do it this way. Point all of the names forward. Stack them so that they are 3 deep. Or 2 deep, or this height, or whatever. What is he doing? He's not saying, go over there and stack them. The manager shows you how to do it, and guess what? You do it his way, amen? We're not doing Christianity his way, are we, most of the time? Wouldn't it be wonderful? He said, God, show me thy way. Show me your way of dealing with this problem. Show me your way of responding to this criticism. Show me your way of resting. Show me your way of preaching, of soul winning. Show me your way. Secondly, God, give me your presence. Tonight you need to go to bed and say, God, I don't want to wake up tomorrow living like I can do fine without you. God, give me thy presence so that all day long I am aware you're with me. Like you promised. But let me know it, that I know it. Let me experience it, let me enjoy it, and it'll be proven by the fact that you'll get rest. The way that you know the Lord is with you is you'll be at rest. The stress will not win. Jesus does. Third, ask God for the courage to go ahead and be different. What does the Bible say? Let your light so shine. You don't have to spruce it up. Just let it shine. Just go ahead and say what needs to be said. Go ahead and give the gospel track out. Go ahead and praise God. Go ahead and let your light so shine. Just ask God, God, give me the courage to go ahead and be different. And fourthly, as you just tell God, God, I learned tonight, I can ask you for more. Not more money. Not more blessings. Just whatever you want to do. That's scary. Because God gets glory even when we go through trials. It's not punishment. It's not torture. It's so that God, in our valley, shows what He can do in our weakness. Father, take these thoughts, and I pray tonight we take it very seriously. We can ask for more. Sometimes the disciples took Jesus for granted. They knew He was the Son of God. They knew He was the Messiah. They knew He was the Christ. He knew He was King of Kings. For the first time they could ask Him, show us more. Show us the Father. Lord, maybe I'm a little bit too familiar with what I think is all I need. If I could just be honest, obviously, God, it's not enough. And I'll readily admit that. Father, help me learn to pray these things. Help me learn to never, ever, ever attempt to live without these four things in my life. I'd like to see Your glory every day. I need Your presence every day. I need to be different every day. I need Your help to do that. And I need to learn Your ways so that things are done and are done well by my life, my flawed life, if only I would just obey, trust and obey. So bless us. Bless these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.